Chodesh Halvados, Wednesday night, Yud Zion or Yud Ches, whatever it is, of the Beis. We'll start from page Kuf Pei Zion. The paragraph, Chasher Yisya'ish M'chomen O'Fanam Al-Eilu She'ezkarnu, all the different seductions, enticements of the Yetzer Hara. Yapilcha b'yamas feikos, he will try to confuse you with in the ocean of doubt. Binyan ahechrech v'hatzedek. The Chavis Halvodos in Shar Avodos Elokim spends a perek talking about. He puts it very interestingly. He says there are contradictions in the psukim of Tanakh, whether Hashem controls everything that happens in the world, and to what degree people are masters of their own fate. That people control what happens, and there's contradictions in psukim. So he has the nefesh asking the seichel, what's the pshat? So the seichel gives a very, like a very cute answer, not answer. The seichel starts off its answer by saying, it's not just a contradiction in psukim, but it's a contradiction in life. If you look around in the world, sometimes it seems like there's an invisible hand that no matter, despite your best efforts and despite everything you try to do, things just don't work the way you would like them to work. And you're doing everything right, you're not doing anything wrong. And on the other hand, we see people accomplishing, people doing. So he discusses the philosophy of it in Shar Avodas Elokim. He doesn't end up giving a very clear answer. Ironically, in Shar HaBitachon, he gives a clearer answer. His answer is, and this is really, I think, has become, let me say, normative Jewish philosophy and theology, that Hashem is in charge of everything that happens, everything, all results, even results that seem to be a product of Bechira, because we're going to say in a few seconds that with Bechira Hashem butts out, so to speak, but Hashem is always in charge of results, and Hashem maneuvers, Hashem knows the future, Hashem knows what will happen, so to speak. It's really much deeper than that, but that's how we talk, that Hashem knows the future. Actually, to Hashem, there's no such thing as the future. So he knows everything. And it's all there already, because he's above Zman. Well, that's the way people talk, so we'll talk that way. Hashem does not peer into a crystal ball and see the future. I had an argument, I think, with my son, Nehemiah, about a Navi. We talked about it a little in Ein Yaakov Shir. When Hashem shows the Navi a vision of the future, is that a crystal ball? Or is somehow the Navi elevated to a place where there is no future, and no past, and no present? It's all one big yediya, knowledge. But the nafkamina is that Chizkiyahu was told a vision of the future by Yeshayahu Anavi, that he would have bad children, and he tried to change it. He said, let's daven, let's be mispalel, and maybe my schus and your schus. First, he didn't want to get married. He thought he would change it that way. And then he tried to change it that. L'chora, it seems to me that he could only try to change it is the pshat is that Anavi looked into a crystal ball and saw the future, but he saw it as the future. So then you could try to change it. But if he saw it like Hashem saw it, then
there's nothing to change.
It's like happened already. How can you change it? Could be Machlaikas when I was a kid. It was Machlaikas Superman would go back into the past. But he knew he couldn't change history. So there was always Shaila in the Shaila Satruvas there, called Metropolis Mailbag, where people wrote in questions and answers. So this was always a heavy topic of discussion. if Superman could change the past. It was never clear how he got into the past. He would fly
around the world faster than light.
It was always amazing. Like if he flew counterclockwise, he went to the past, and if he flew clockwise, he went to the future. Which makes sense. But what did we know? You know. A koponim, Hashem maneuvers everything that the results that he wants happens. And he's able to do that, excuse the expression, because he knows what people will choose. He sometimes, this is what the Chazal says in Shaar Bitachon, he's even more explicit in Shaar Bitachon than he is in Shaar Avodas Elokim, where he discusses the issue. In Shaar Avodas Elokim, he leaves it kind of vague, and like you have to go with your belief. You have Bechira, but you're not the master of the result. But in Shaar Bitachon, he's more explicit. Bechira is not result. Bechira is only that narrow band of a decision. What you want to do. Carrying it out and having it happen, we revert back to Hashem's in control. And that's the answer to the contradiction of Pesukim. Hashem controls everything that happens. Even if Reuven decides to kill Shimon, it's only because Shimon, and is successful, it's only because Shimon was supposed to die at that moment, and he would have died anyway, even if Reuven wouldn't have killed him. Okay. But it is a troubling issue. You know, I don't want to be, I don't pronounce the word right, F-A-C-I-L-E. I don't want to act, it's not, I'm saying it over almost childishly, but that's the general approach. But it really is a troubling issue. What the Chavit HaVodas here is saying, Shariach HaMaisa, is that the Yetzer Hara, who is not interested in the truth, is interested in your not acting properly. So he will stress, depending on where you're holding. If you're holding, he says, Chayiro Oscha Misrashel, Mimaisa HaMishmas, Vinoito Allah Veros. Let's say a person has, he's in a certain mode. He starts to miss davening, starts to have bad friends, he starts maybe eating things that are not such a good hechsher. He starts missing night seder. He's like, you know, so he doesn't want the person to catch himself and say, hey, what's going on? I could change. I'm a Baal Bechira. I don't have to do this. Then he hits the person with a more deterministic view of the world. This is how I am. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's inevitable. I live here. These are my friends. I can't change. He makes a person feel like he's more the prisoner of a deterministic world. Yizom, he will plan la'ames b'daitcha to make clear to you esahechreach that you're forced into doing things. That doesn't have to be force someone twisting your arm, remember. This could be phrases that people always say. Every time a person says, what can I do? That's how I am. He's falling prey to the Yetzer Hara, who's telling him, yeah, that's how you are. You know, and now you have Freud. Freud. So certainly that's how you are.
But that's contrary to the entire concept of teshuva.
It's easy to say that, but how many people talk to say, that's how I am, I can't change? That's what he does. And he has psukim. Because if you go through Tanakh and you look at the psukim that the Chavis HaLovitz brings down, in Shaar Avodas Elokim, there are tons of psukim which make it sound like Hashem Taka, because the psukim are talking about results. See, that's ultimately the Chavis HaLovitz is teretz to the contradictions of psukim. But if you don't know that teretz, so, you know, he says, look, it says in the pasuk that by Rechavam, when Rechavam rejected the advice of the older advisors and he took the advice of the younger advisors, the Pasuk says Beferish, Hashem moved his heart in a certain direction in order to achieve the result of revolution, and they broke away and they formed the Northern Kingdom.
So how does that defend the government perspective of that you have a choice of Bechira?
Because my understanding is that that was not Tov and Ra. Bechira doesn't mean chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream. Bechira is only Tov and Ra. So I think whose advice to listen to tax the people harder or to give them a tax rebate, not Tov and Ra. So Hashem wanted a certain result, so he pushed him in a certain direction. There are those that say that Hashem will take away a melech's bechira at times. They base it on a pasuk, lev melochim biyad Hashem, and they learn that that's going on bechira as well. That's already not for this discussion. But there is a very explicit statement in the pasuk, and the answer to your question, I believe, is that it's not tov and ra. To raise taxes or lower taxes is not good or bad. Do you come down hard on the people? Do you act like Mubarak and give up, let's say? Or do you act like Gaddafi? Okay, that's good. I don't know if it's good or evil. How does a melech put down a rebellion? Let's say it would be a melech, not a despot. It would be a melech, and the people would be rebelling. And they come and they say, we need more freedom. So I don't think the decision on the melech's part, look at my melech Yisrael, whether to quash the rebellion by putting everybody to death, because they're Mori B'malchus, and he has a right to put them to death, and take out his army and kill them. There's a right. He's a melech and they're Morid Malchus. Or he may decide, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the whole countryside will get up in rebellion. I'm certainly not going to go kill out the whole Klal Yisrael. Let me give them their tax rebate, So I don't think, okay. So sometimes the Yetzer Hara will make you feel you're living in a deterministic universe. And I'm saying we do this without the fancy word deterministic. Every time you say, what can I do? I'm lazy, I'm tired. I'm tired, I'm lazy, that's how I am. I live in this neighborhood, what do you want from me? These are my friends. I can't stand out, I'm not gonna go fight the world. All these things are very deterministic ways of talking, that perhaps we have fallen into those traps. The Yetzer Hara likes that, because he doesn't want you to do tshuva. So when he sees a certain pattern of behavior, he makes you feel that's the way it is.